Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I'll be your host for the next 60 minutes. This is another in our ongoing series, The News in Review. Today's program, we will be concentrating on the very sad and actually very confusing story of Hayley Cummings. With it being a long weekend, a couple of our regular panelists are missing. They're taking a vacation. How dare they? Well, I wish I could take a damn vacation. However, we do have quite the list of people sitting in. Joining me in the studio is my wife, Jan. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Simon. Hi, everyone.
By the way, everyone, it is Jan's birthday today. So happy birthday, Jan. And she wants to tell everyone that she is indeed
Simon.
21 again.
Thank you, Simon.
from the Pacific Northwest, we have our resident Hayley reporter, Ms. Pickles. Hi, Pickles.
Happy birthday, Mom. And I want to tell everybody, I'm not drunk.
Okay. from New York, we have our favorite crime writer, author, and mob hanger arounder, Denny Griffin. Hi, Denny.
Hi, good afternoon, and Jan, happy birthday, and there's nothing like today for you to get the experience of having your first legal drink.
Thank you, Danny.
You're welcome.
Good
oh,
shot.
I'm going to have fun.
Yeah, we're going to go to the bar right after we hang up. And last, but certainly by no means least, from somewhere in Florida, I believe at a crab festival, we have investigator and bail bondsman William Cobra Storbs. Hi, Cobra.
Hey, Simon, how you doing? Thanks for having me on your show.
Oh, always a pleasure to talk to you, Cobra. Our switchboard is open, and we welcome your questions and comments. Our switchboard number is area code 646-378-4657. And if you're too shy to call in, even though we don't bite, well, we don't bite much, our chat room is open. You can always ask your questions there, and we will try to get them on the air. So, let's get on with the show. I guess the main news this week concerns one of our own panelists. Cobra, what the hell happened down in Putnam County?
I've been saying the same thing. What the hell is going on down here? Well, as you know, they tossed my butt in jail. Then while I'm in jail trying to find out, they revoked my bond. And I got out of jail, and you know what? I'm continuing the search for Lou Haley.
So, in other words, I'll approach this from a different direction. You must be pretty annoyed right now.
I am very annoyed, but you know I have to stay focused, Simon.
Right.
I'll try to do it. Try to get you off the track. I'll try to get you annoyed. I'll try to get you beat down. And it was a very eye-opening experience for me. The first time, and I'm turned 52 one month from today. I've never been in jail before, and that was quite the experience.
Right. These allegations that they're claiming, I believe it involves kidnapping and false imprisonment. These are pretty serious. How does this affect your immediate ability to conduct your business?
Well, I tell you, I only got charged for false imprisonment. And how does it affect my license? Is suspended until the outcome of this this whole ordeal. So as a bail bondsman, I'm no longer a bail bondsman. I'd probably be sending my license back to the state of Florida here in a couple of days, and we'll wait to see how interesting this gets.
I just noticed on our switchboard that Art Harris, Emmy winning reporter, has joined us. Hey, hi, Art.
Hey there, Simon. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can indeed.
Hi, Art.
Yeah, we got a bad. I mean, I've got a bad connection. A cell phone that may die, but I'll stay as long as I can.
That's great. We just started the show, and I was asking Cobra about, you know, the experience that he had on Friday and his ability to continue to do business. And he just told me the awful news that this effectively has shut down his ability to earn money.
It's very sad. He's very good at what he does.
Do you have any recourse, Cobra?
Well, I'll tell you, my attorneys, I have several attorneys that will be working different sides of this case, one for the immediate claim that they've made, but I've got a serious recourse against them, absolutely. Can't really get into the details of that, but I will come out on top, Simon.
Oh, Cobra, I never doubted that for a moment. Cobra, by the way, can you speak up a little bit?
Nobody can hear you.
Yeah, you're coming across real low at the moment.
How about that?
That's better. Benny, you've probably been following this story. What's your view on what happened?
With Cobra?
Yes.
I was a little surprised, actually. I didn't, it kind of caught me off guard when I heard the news. I don't know if it caught Cobra off guard, but I was taken aback by it. And certainly if he's been wrongly accused or hasn't done what they allege, it sounds like he's going to mount a spirited defense and he should prevail.
Let's hope so. Art, TJ and I have spoken several times. I mean, Cobra is essentially our man on the ground. He shakes the trees where other people don't. What's your view on this development?
Well, I mean, I think that he, you know, it's a very, very tough line for Cobra to walk in that town, small town, coming in as an outsider, with a larger-than-life persona, and marching into a place that, you know, that the local police really have a lot better wired than we are able to tell from the outside. They know when somebody, sneezes in that town. They just can't necessarily all the time make sense of what the sneeze was. But Cobra coming in definitely shook things up, and and to see that sort of, regardless of what they say, he actually gave them. He caught up to speed pretty quick, and it was obvious that a number of people that they don't mind being under pressure were under more pressure with Cobra in town, Simon.
Right. There was something that caught my eye a couple of days ago. In fact, it was Pickles that brought it to our attention. That there's some pictures floating around on MySpace of Crystal Sheffield. Pickles, do you agree with me that those pictures hardly bear out the idea of a grieving mother?
Well, I've checked them out and I looked at them, and I can look at it from many different angles. Like, you know, it is a big event and you want to look your best and all that, you know. But then I think about, I've heard people say that they're two different people in front of the camera, you know, for the media and And so, yeah, I kind of have issue with the picture, you know, because I can understand that they want to look nice as a big thing. But then again, what they portray, her and her mother portray to us, to the media, is all, you know, boo-hoos and crying. And, I mean, I don't know. I'm at a crossroad with those pictures, but yes, I agree.
Simon, what kind of pictures are we talking about here? Are we talking about the ones, her makeover before she went on television?
Right.
Before the vigil, I think.
Yeah, before the vigil. And what caught my attention, actually, wasn't so much the picture itself. You know, I don't mind, well, in fact, everyone needs to look good. You know, they need to look their best. And certainly, Crystal has not looked her best for some time. What bothered me though was the caption on it, which I can't exactly recall, but it
Hello.
Was.
What was it?
Getting the makeup done before the show. That's what it was. I've been so busy. I completely forgot about that little caption on there. Yes.
To me, the caption was more important than the picture itself. You know, in that it conveyed, you know, happiness and
excitement.
You know, rather than, oh my God, a candlelight vigil for my little girl that's been missing for 3 months.
Yeah.
To me, it sent the wrong message.
Simon,
yeah.
You're absolutely, Pickles, you're absolutely on the right path now. That's all I can say about that.
Oh, cool, but I have been on this path for over a week. All right, I got you back. I do not like these organizations, foundations, all that BS, being involved in hate research because the Anthonys, and I'll say it, and I'll say it again, they support a child killer. What right do they have to be searching for a missing child? It is backwards.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And you know what? I will continue with it. And I'll do it till my head falls off and my fingers are blue.
I agree with you.
You're welcome. I've been hitting on this for over a week since before I found out about the vigil. And then I found out that there's all sorts of other stuff revolving from the Anthonys being mushed in with Haley and being involved in this. And you know what? I've got all this stuff saved up. I'm going to be hitting on all of it because it's not right. You can tell me that it's right because you're blue in the face, and I'm not going to believe you.
Right. Well, we can't fool America, and you can't fool Cobra, and you can't run Cobra off. I don't care what female attorney you put at me. You can't run me off.
Now, that's the Cobra we know and love.
Yeah.
Once again, to all of our listeners, our call-in number is 646-378-1120. Cobra, I don't want to, you know, even though you're an important guy, I refuse to spend the entire hour on you, but I do have one question. I don't suppose that any of the phone calls that you made concerning this Snodgrass guy were recorded, were they?
I would defer that to Mr. Art Harris.
Okay. Mr. Art Harris.
Well, you know, I just know what Cobra told me that, you know, he does often record his calls for backup. I was doing some filming that day and hoping to get some things edited to show, what went down. In Cobra's mind, he was... He believed he'd gotten the green light from assorted people. I've got some pictures of him speaking with Detective John Merchant and another law enforcement officer with the Florida Department of Law Enforcement and an actual state attorney outside the Bilo that day or the day before going over the Snodgrass file. And at least in his mind, whether that's accurate or not, he believed that, he had told them what he wanted to do, that because of the Haley bug incident, he felt this guy should be off the streets or at least checked up on, and hoped that maybe out of that would come some sort of leads. But, however well-meaning, they say they in no way blessed what happened, and the same goes for the insurance companies who I interviewed at ArtHarris.com. I was able to get everybody's take on it, from Cobra to the head of Continental Heritage Insurance, that backs up and guarantees the bonds for Chuck's bail bonds, the company that wrote the bond for Mr. Snodgrass, $78,000 with next to no collateral, you know, it's laid out there. So I think that what we're going to see is, you know, how does it, you know, how does it play out in court? Whether something may be able to be settled, I don't know. But you know, Cobra in his mind believed he had the green light, and the others believed they had put up the red light.
Right.
I would like to add to that, Simon.
Sure.
All right, here's the situation. They claim, insurance company, Mr. C. Parrish, and a couple of others claim that they never authorized me. That's what they claim. And the only thing I would like your listeners to know, and look at this on the Internet, did they ever authorize Samuel Lee Hightower, a.k.a.
I don't know if I'm on the air or not.
Did they ever authorize that man, who was a convicted felon and has made over 2,000 arrests for that insurance company?
Hello?
Right. Cobra, let me interrupt you for 1 second.
We do
have callers coming in, and if the callers can just bear with me, I'll get to you as soon as I can. And to answer your question, yes, you are on the air. Okay, Cobra, back to you.
Yes, sir. I was telling your listeners to look up this guy, Samuel Lee Hightower. He's in the Department of Corrections. I think U.S. Marshals have him now. But he was never, quote, authorized to do any pickups for Continental Heritage, and he did over 2,000 of them, and he's a convicted felon. So I want to know what their take on that is.
Right. Okay. We do have a couple of callers, and I want to get to them, but I'll ask at least one of the callers, can you please turn down your computer speakers? Because it gives a really nasty echo on the line. Okay, let's go to area code 818. What's your name and what's your question for us?
Hi, Simon, Jan, Pickles, Cobra, Art, everybody. This is Noreen, and my question is, now that it's come to light that Crystal is still very much roped up to the eyeballs and driving around when she shouldn't be, Cobra, will you be furnishing DCF with that information also? Because,
already did.
You
already
have?
Did. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you so much. God bless you. My other question was, why weren't the police interested in the keys that you found to the Amber Nene car? And is there any truth in the rumor that Amber and Crystal are relatives?
I would have to defer that one just because of I would have to defer that one off for a moment. That's a pretty hot investigation there.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. I respect that.
Right.
Just God bless you all, Cobra. I'm so glad you're out. And if you ever get stuck again, give us a call. You've got more than enough people willing to get you out every time.
Thank you.
Thank you all for the show. Thank you.
Thanks for calling in.
Bye, Noreen.
Bye.
Simon, I wanted to interject one little thing. I know that there has been, you know, some conjecture about, you know, Crystal's sobriety, state of mind, the wrecks, and everything else. And I am hoping to get a copy with her permission of the drug screen that she was given at the hospital, and that it went straight to DCF. My sources are telling me, and I'm trying to get a copy of that. I understand that it tested negative for the drugs in question, and I think we need to at least presume you know, her innocence there, just to make sure that you know, if there are any other drugs other than the prescriptions that she was given, then that may be something cause for concern. But I know she did voluntarily submit to that. That test, and I think has to do random drug screens as a potential parent.
Oh, absolutely, and I I look forward to discovering whatever it is you discover. Let's go to area code 309. What's your name and what's your question for us?
My name's Kay Sue. That's what I go by on your blog site. And hi, Pickles. You sound so mousy on the phone. I love your voice. Cobra, I'm so glad you're out.
Thank you, darling. Thank you.
I have two questions here, and I'm actually a little nervous, and it might come out a little twisted or whatever, but hopefully y'all can just follow along with me or whatever.
You can't be any more twisted than the panel.
I know this. Okay, the videotape that was at the convenience store that's down the road from Ron's that Ellie says that they looked on and have Ron in that convenience store at 2:30 in the morning. Has Ellie went back any further on that video to see if Crystal or if Misty was in there any time after 7 p.m. that night? And Kim Picazio was on JVM the other night, Issues, Jane Velez Mitchell, and she stated that she was not at that vigil that George and Anthony had appeared at, that she was homesick with the child. But I read that she had made a comment that she was at that vigil with Crystal and her mother. So those are the questions I have.
I can't answer them. I'm hundreds of miles away.
Yeah, I don't believe
Cobra.
I don't believe she was at that vigil. I mean, I stand to be corrected, but that's my understanding. And I'm very curious about this videotape I keep hearing about. I'm very curious where your caller read that law enforcement had that tape and specifically pinpointed Ronald at that convenience store at 2:30, which would have meant he got off work a little early that night. Now, you know, there are a lot of rumors out there, Simon, and that's why, unless I can get it confirmed through sources close to the investigation, you know, I can't write about it, and you know, I can't, you know, be the passer of innuendo. I mean, so that's why when I'm fascinated when folks out there drop something like that, because, you know, if I can track it back to, you know, documents or reliable source, Simon, then I think we can take it to the bank. Otherwise, just a lot of rumor and conjecture buzzing about on the ground.
Okay, is that you, Art?
Yes, it is, huh?
Okay, well, it was on your blog site, on Art Harris' book, The Bold Truth. Somebody had put it up there.
Okay, well, I didn't write it. I'm sure it may have been a comment that someone put up, and I, you know, I may have missed it. There, you know, I got to tell you, I get to the comments, and I travel a fair amount. I try to get them up as fast as possible, and I'm guilty of letting them linger, and people get upset. But I first of all, I appreciate Simon, everybody who does write in and stays interested in this case. I mean, it helps. You know, it helps the cause. It helps. You know, fuel interest. You know, in finding Haley, and I think the police need to know that. The town needs to know it. The families need to. Cobra, I think, appreciates everybody's support. And, you know, so, you know, I try to get these comments up, but sometimes, and I try to respond and say, hey, we may have heard of that, but I cannot confirm it. Please tell me where you heard it. So if I did not put that in there after that comment, I apologize. But whoever did write that, if they could, you know, write me either in a private email or give me some sort of, you know, of details where they saw it, you know, that sort of thing. Eventually, you know, if God forbid, you know, anybody in that family, you know, has to be taken to task, you know, those kinds of videotapes could be introduced in court. I know that things like that are being used to create and fill in holes in timelines, Simon, and that is something that, for example, you know, I was told by sources that Ronald's cell phone can be tracked to the phone towers around PDM Bridge Company. And, you know, law enforcement believes at least he has a good, you know, a good alibi that he was there during his shift, and because of the cell phone. So, and witnesses, some interviews that I did with coworkers. So, you know, if this person actually did see a read about a videotape that law enforcement has, I sure would like to have it because they did not confirm that to me.
I think one of the major issues with this case is the fact that law enforcement is being tight-lipped, and everyone is turning to us in the press, and COBRA for that matter, you know, because there's just not much coming out. Now, it could be that there's a lot going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. Or maybe they are genuinely stymied. You know, it's a tough call.
Getting back to COBRA's role here in getting Nene out and Amber Brooks and trying to, you know, send them out, on a scavenging hunt for clues, I think, you know, law enforcement didn't mind that. They would have preferred Nene, I think, to put it out in jail to clear her head. But then she fell into the hands or the arms of, we know, Jerome Williams, who COBRA had a run-in with. Had the pressure not been put on Jerome and, people interceded with him, COBRA and others, he would not have volunteered to even try to look for clues and work his sources, which he did, in fact, because of Jerome's about-face and willingness to cooperate. Law enforcement briefly, my sources tell me, were upbeat that just maybe, in dredging, the depths of the local society, they may have found somebody who moved in that world, who just might want to have a makeover. And for a time, I know that he was burning up the cell phones, trying to put out the word to fellow drug dealers and everybody else. Let's get some information about Haley Cummins. Anything that you've heard about this little girl, anything, any rumors about her father's alleged ties to that world, Misty's ties to that world. Let me know about it. And I think that not much came back, Simon. So that one hope, that one glimmer that law enforcement had about Jerome Williams was dashed.
Right.
But not for the lack of COBRA trying.
Right. Oh, I know that. Okay, we still have a very busy switchboard. Let's go to area code 386. What's your name and what's your question for us? Hello, Larry.
Hello?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Hello, Simon. This is Bail Agent 328. That's the name I use on the Blogger News Network. And
oh, okay.
My question is in regards to COBRA. And I'll let you know that I'm also a bail agent. And under the law, it clearly states he could have very easily averted going to jail and everything had he produced his written authorization to make the arrest on Mr. Snodgrass. I just wanted to bring that out in the open, and I wanted to see what Mr. Stobbs had to say about that.
I have an appointment from Lee Parish, from Continental Insurance. I'm appointed for that reason, and these guys told me they didn't want to give anybody's money back. And you in the bond business writing bail, you know that you don't want to never have to get the money. They said they didn't have a problem putting him back, but they wanted to make sure if we put him back that it was, that they didn't have to get the money back, because that's what you guys work for, is your 10% and, that kind of thing.
I firmly understand, but I'm going on the aspect that I'm sure you had plenty of contact with the investigating officers and all of this charge prior to the warrant being issued. Is that correct?
Zero. I was informed not to talk to them. It went to the state attorney's office and got kicked back. And then they came and asked me to give a statement. I was advised by counsel not to give them a statement. And then it, all of a sudden it came back 2 months later in the form of a warrant for my arrest.
Can I just break in 1 second? We have someone that's calling in that's listening to the show, both on the telephone and on computer speakers. please turn the computer speakers down? It gives a horrible 3-second delay. Drives everyone crazy. Okay, I'm sorry about that.
I'm sorry.
Ah.
But I guess my point, though, to Cobra would be, if you produce that record at the point that you turned yourself in to the arrest or to that detective prior to turning yourself in, would that not have caused this to all go away?
Well, under the advice of counsel, they said they should have done their investigation and contacted Alex Sink with the Department of Financial Services, and they would have got their answer. But, you know, I've got time to investigate myself, so apparently somebody dropped the ball somewhere, and that's why I got the predicament I got in.
Yeah, and
I guess
sorry,
we'll see what
carry
happens
on
when
bail
it comes
agent.
Out in court.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, Simon. Go ahead.
No, I said carry on.
Well, I just, like I say, I do this for a living. I've been doing it for a little over 6 years, and anytime I pick up anyone, I have written authorization from the bail agent that requests the pickup, and
you're
I think he would have been
Valentine
better served.
Bail bond, are you? You're not by chance Valentine, are you?
I'm sorry, I missed that.
I said, is this caller by chance Valentine Bell Bonds?
Oh, I was going to ask that question. You beat me to it.
Years, and I've been doing it 30 years, and I've never had any authorization outside of an appointment, and I've worked over 8,000 people, 199 child molesters, 2 murderers, and 1 terrorist. I'm not in a pissing contest with my fellow bondsman there, but it's not him that's been falsely accused, it's me.
Well, that's true, but I would not allege that it's falsely or otherwise. It's alleged. That's where I'm sitting at right now. Okay. As far as to answer your question, yes, sir, I am.
Okay. You have an axe to grind in this then, sir.
No, I don't have an axe to grind with you.
Is that Mr. Valentine?
Yes, it is.
Oh, great. I think, were you in the red Jeep that day outside, I guess, on the dirt road near Mr. Snodgrass's house? I wonder if we met.
Yes, I was.
Okay, great. I was fascinated by a comment you made to me about the accuracy of GPS and ankle monitors. Do you remember that? I think I asked you about water and how it could affect a GPS.
Yes, sir, that was a question that was asked by a number of individuals during this investigation, and including by law enforcement. And they were provided with all the necessary information in regards to that and to his GPS pings also. And he was, my understanding, he was ruled out by way of that.
Right. You're correct. And my sources say that Mr. Snodgrass, his location was nowhere near the Cummings trailer the night that the little girl disappeared. Is that your information as well?
That is my information as well.
Yeah. What also interested me, though, I think you've mentioned that often when someone is near a body of water and they're wearing ankle monitors, the precise location can be off as much as 15 miles.
No, it was not. It's not that much. No, sir.
Okay.
It can be
off. I'm curious just your experience.
Yeah.
Tell me your experience.
Yeah, it can be off to some, maybe 1,000 yards or so, but because it kind of drags the signal to the body of water. But it's not 15 miles. No, sir. I'm not exactly sure of the statistic.
Mr. Valentine, 2 questions. Do you know how far Ronald's trailer is from Mr. Snodgrass? Question 1. Question 2, do you have a conversation with Mr. Snodgrass as to his continuance on bond?
His continuance on bond, no, sir, because I don't hold his bond. I hold his monitoring agreement.
Right, no, but did you have a conversation in front of him telling him that if he was on your bond, he would be going to jail?
No, sir, I didn't.
Really? Did you know that I was wearing a wire the entire time?
No, sir, I was not aware of that. So, I mean, if that's the case, then...
You just lied.
Well, no, I
yes,
did not reslide.
You did, sir. I was wearing a wire the entire time.
Well, my.
Well, if that were the case.
You stepped on a rake. You stepped on a rake.
Do what?
I said you just stepped on a rake.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Yeah, you know, Simon, Miss Bellman, I'm delighted you're here. I'm really interested in the policy of bonding out accused sexual predators. Do you know if there is one? You know, does your company have one at all in terms of how secure you like your bond to be, and what's the criteria that you use to judge a flight risk?
In regards to that, the only thing that I can say to that is it's based on the underwriting of the bond. Depending on the amount of the bond that the judge sets, we underwrite that bond to the point of being either it's a solid bond or it's not. We have that amount of money covered or it's not. If it's not there, my agency, we won't write it. If it's there and everything meets the criteria for the underwriting, then the bond is written.
Would you feel comfortable holding Mr. Snodgrass's bond, a $70,000 bond, with no collateral?
Not on no collateral. No, I don't know what the situation is and how that bond was underwritten.
Why are you calling in to mess with me today?
I'm not messing with you, Cobra. I was asking a simple question.
I was wearing a wire, though, and Art knows it. And I was wearing a wire, and everything that you said, we know what you said.
Okay, that's fine. But, however, under the law in the state of Florida, if one party is unaware of that, you realize that's an illegal wire, right?
All over my truck says audio, video in progress, and you saw the cameras and everything else in my truck. They're mounted in there, sir. Silent witnesses is what they're called.
Well, that killed the conversation.
Yes,
it should have.
Mr. Ballantyne, Simon, offers a real opportunity to try to understand some of the concerns that that Cobra and others may have had about the security of this bond. I know it's not his job to worry about that. It's the agency, and I understand, of the company holding that bond.
Right.
But in this case, I talked to the state attorney's office, and they actually told me that they would never have even allowed a bond. They would have opposed a bond in a capital sex crime case like this. And so you had a judge who, turned around and did allow a bond in this case, allowing Mr. Snodgrass to go out of the county for medical treatment and other things, as long as he was monitored by a GPS that was, held and in charge. Mr. Ballantyne was in charge of that. But, the question then becomes, I think a lot of people who are writing into ArtHarris.com and other websites are wondering what kind of freedoms do we give, accused, predators and their ability to move around, with impunity. And in this case, what caught people's eye was when Mr. Snodgrass did go apparently to the Haley Bug Center, where families and children, do congregate, including children about the age of his alleged 9-year-old victim, little girl. And so that's what set, set the alarms off for Cobra and others. And the center director, even though it was a very generous offer to say, hey, I've got some used desks in my house, I'd love for the center to have them in support of, hunting down, Haley and either where she is or who took her, Mr. Snodgrass, was hurt when his offer was rejected, but it was considered inappropriate to take a gift from someone in that, in that status. So that's, I think, what got Cobra's mind, set him off. But I think also, I don't know, maybe Cobra knows this, whether that incident was ever reported to law enforcement. And, if that were the case and it were investigated, it's a possibility that if he, did stop by that center and spend any time there, that could have been in violation of not the appearance bond that that Cobra apparently was going on, but the actual bond that the judge allowed him out of jail on, Simon.
You're making perfect sense. In fact, I'd like to put an offer out to David Ballantyne. Maybe you would care to talk to Art and I off the air.
Well, first...
I lost you. I can't hear there. Hello?
I lost you there. Are you there?
Yeah. Yeah, now I can hear you, Ms. Ballantyne.
Okay. First off, let me go ahead and clarify something. I am not David Ballantyne. I own a sister agency to David Ballantyne in Jacksonville, Florida. Okay, and my agency is located in Palatka, Florida. I wanted to set that straight off the get off. I have no problem talking to Mr. Harris at all. Especially, I don't have any direct knowledge toward the Haley case.
I think what Art and I are really looking for here is background. Someone's
bad connection here. Someone's got their speaker up.
Whoever has their computer speakers up, can you please turn them down? Turn them off.
I turned mine off.
We don't like it.
But Simon, I think you make a good point, and it's great to have a professional bondsman here on the line, because one of the real issues is what do the courts allow? What kind of freedoms do they allow accused sex offenders awaiting trial, the freedom to move around? Of course, they're presumed innocent, but how close are they allowed to get to the schools and playgrounds and children and possible targets of these sorts of people, if they are guilty. And at the same time, what happens to those after they are convicted and serve their time? And there are about 250 registered sex offenders in Putnam County. Law enforcement sources tell me they have actually ruled them out in the Haley case. But, nothing's perfect, and it's always good to follow any leads should they come up. But getting back to the Haley case, they do not believe it was a stranger abduction. And in this situation, alleged predators are strangers, at least presumed in this case. There were some talk that there were some folks who were related to Misty's family that had a background, but they have not come under the glare of law enforcement, and so you've got to assume that they are back to waiting and trying to fill in timelines of certain people close to the family, Simon, which then takes, if true, takes the alleged predators off the table in the Haley case.
Right. I'll tell you what, I hate to interrupt this conversation because it is such a fascinating one, but I've had some poor person sat on the line for I don't know quite how long, and they've been patiently waiting. Area code 919, what's your name and what's your question for us?
Hey, everybody, my name's Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Hey, Pickles. I have two questions, actually, for Cobra. The first one is, does he think, and I know he stated that in order to keep going in this case, he had to believe that Haley was alive. Does he think Haley's alive?
Is this aimed at Cobra?
I believe that she is.
Okay, and my second question is, do you think some of the family was involved in maybe hiding her?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Okay. That's all. That's the path I've been going down for a long time.
Stay on it. Stay on it.
Okay.
Stay on it.
Okay. I appreciate it. Thank y'all.
Thank you for
calling.
Okay. Let's go to Denny. Denny, you must be sat in New York going, oh my, oh my, oh my. Give me your thoughts.
My thoughts are, after listening to these conversations, I wish the hell I was in Florida. I would very much like to be closer to the action.
Come on down, buddy. Come on down.
but it's great to have Art and Cobra and people who are there on the ground to get this kind of information from. But I'm actually, I believe a minute ago, Simon, you said a fascinating conversation. And I've just been sitting here taking us all in. It's quite a thing, and I'm thankful that I'm able to listen in on it and get some of the scoop and hear some of the questions and some of the thoughts, because it really is fascinating to me, this whole case, and I'm really enjoying getting this insight.
Let me just tell you, I'm 52, not 25, and if I was going to voluntarily falsely imprison somebody, you know, I would have falsely imprisoned Misty. I wouldn't have been out there. Come on now.
Okay.
For a second. We're back.
All right. Let's move on to more. Come on, Cripple. Damn computer speakers on again. Stop it. Okay, we have some. Oh, please turn the computer speakers down, whoever is doing it. We have a question. Speakers, off now. Cobra, was there a second breathing machine for Haley that is missing, or is that just a rumor?
I'm not going to comment on that.
We got a terrible reverb there, Simon.
I'm trying to fix it.
Okay.
It's someone with stinking computer speakers turned up. And they're on the phone, so I know they're on the line. I'm going to start thumping people.
Hey, I'm still on here. Can I still ask questions?
Sure.
Yeah, I didn't know. Okay, I forgot. I'm a
Uh-oh.
Now. I'll come back. Sorry about that.
Oh, she forgot. I'll tell you
no,
what.
I remember now.
Okay.
Okay, this is for Cobra. I told you this would happen, Pickles. Are the rumors true about John Sheffield being a mean and nasty guy? I mean, you know, they say that he fights dogs and he beats people. And, I mean, is this the true?
Were you listening last week? He's a true American, and none of those claims are true. None. Zero. No merit.
Okay.
Okay. We have another caller on, and they appear to not have their computer speakers turned up, which is nice. They're coming in from area code 423. What's your name and what's your question for us?
This is Ruby.
Hello,
I have
Ruby.
A question for Cobra. You said you think the family has her. Which side of the family do you think has it?
We searched everything on Ronald's side, so what does that leave you?
That's what I was thinking too. Thank you, Cobra.
Yes, ma'am. Okay.
That was an incredibly easy question. We don't usually get easy questions.
You
want to see us on the internet.
Exactly what I've been thinking all along.
Okay, there was another question that came in involving someone called Greg Page. Pickles, what do you know about this Greg Page guy and the story?
Well, I know that he was supposedly the man in black and all that good stuff, but they found him, and they've always said nobody is ruled out. And, you know, he has the same thing that Misty says. I took my polygraph, so I passed it, blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, I doubt you even know that, for one. But for two, he from what it seems like to me is if he knows something, he could lead people in the right way, but he was not the man in black. And it's just, I don't know, these people just got issues. I mean, clean up your lives and get to the program here. If you know anything, you know something. If you don't, fuck off, you know?
This guy, excuse me, Simon, but, you know, I've had some pretty close dealings with Greg Page, Whiteboard Greg. I know Cobra has, and you've seen his video on ArtHarris.com. You know, the guy, I think if he knew, if he had any knowledge, he's trying to start his life over. He's, you know, acknowledges he went down the wrong road of drug using and maybe some dealing. And here he wound up you know, in a car with a couple of girls, Misty at the wheel. Misty in the car, Nene, Christina Pravat at the wheel on this wild weekend of drug, sex, rock and roll before Amy disappears. So suddenly he's in the spotlight as a, you know, as having been with the woman who last saw Haley alive, or at least you know, in the family circle. So he comes under the glare. The question is, did he, you know, have any more contact possibly with Misty the next night? He says not, and there's no evidence that he did. So, you know, we have to take him at his, you know, at his word, as well as confirming it with my law enforcement sources, who say he is not, you know, he is not at all a person of interest that they believe that he gave them, you know, legitimate and as much information as he had. So I know that everybody, no one has been ruled out, but unless somebody can convince me that he was with Misty Monday night, when she may or may not have been at the trailer, it's rumored, then he's, you know, he's out of the picture as just, you know, a guy who stumbled into a party at the wrong time.
Exactly.
and there was no man in black.
Well, is White Boy under protection by LA?
He's under protection by me.
Yeah, and I can tell you, Cobra's interviewed this person in the neighborhood as well. That you know, a truck rumbled you know, into the neighborhood where the mother of White Boy Greg lives, and saw a woman walking on the street with her dog, who said she had no idea who it was when they pulled up to her to ask. In fact, they asked; they thought she might be a woman of the night, you know, ready for business, but she was just in the neighborhood. It was a black neighborhood, and the woman was white, and she then, but she was friends with White Boy Greg's mother, so she told her what happened. They got a description of the buck, and we believe there were relatives of Ronald Cummings there that night looking for White Boy Greg. Other sources have told me that Misty's family was interested in finding him and, quote, teaching him a lesson. But you know, this is a sore point of pride down there. There's a, you know, there's a real, you know, undercurrent of hostility, you know, between the two communities in this case, because, you know, White Boy Greg is a light-skinned African-American who, by his account and also by Misty's, they spent time together. You know, you would think that if that happened a few days or at least shortly before Ronald asked Misty to marry him, that might be a source of irritation, Simon.
Okay, I'm going to take another caller here. Someone coming in from the 734 area code. What's your name and what's your question for us?
Hi, it's Tammy Liz.
Hi,
everybody. I have a question for Cobra. I've been listening, and I heard him say in the last caller, he was saying that he believes that it would be Ron's side of the family who would have a Haley. So I'm kind of lost on what is the whole motivation behind if they do have her.
You were
not
wrong. I never said that. I said Ron has been checked out. We're looking at the other side now.
Okay, Pammy, do you have your computer speakers on?
Uh-huh.
Okay, turn them down, dear. Uh oh. Now I'm not sure what we've got.
Okay,
Pammy, carry on.
Okay. I just wondered what is the whole motivation? If okay, the child is alive and Ronald or his family are behind all this, what is the reason? I'm really unclear on that.
We never said anything about Ronald's family if you were listening, honey.
Well, you said
clear her in there.
I'm just saying, whoever has her, what is the motivation? What is?
That's a great question. You know, what could the?
I'm not real clear on what you know. What is it? Just a custody fight? Is it just?
I think that
line of reasoning, Simon, may the theories on all sides is all purely hypothetical. No one is accusing Ronald's
right.
family of hiding her out. No one's accusing Crystal's family of hiding her out. However,
right.
if that were to be the case, you know, you could just assume that one side feared for, you know, Haley's well-being if she were with the other side. I mean, if Ronald's family felt that, you know, that Haley might be in danger if she were to go back to her mother, would they have taken her, into hiding themselves? If Crystal's family felt that for some reason that she was in danger, or the other theory that she owed, Ronald Cummings back child support, could that be a motive? I mean, it seems really pretty far-fetched that somebody would take, you know, the child, a child because of, some back child support and hide her out. I mean, this is pretty ridiculous. But you know what? These are the kinds of rumors that have been swirling out there, rumors that there is no viable proof. This is not something that law enforcement is chasing. I mean, they did but they have been chasing these kinds of things when they get a lead. Cobra is well aware of a woman named Roxanne, who was a distant relative of the Sheffield clan by marriage, and it turned out that they were hot and heavy on that for several days, and then it went nowhere. It was ruled out. So they chase these things down when they can, but you know, I don't know, Simon, that anything solid has come that way.
Right. So basically, nobody really knows anything for sure, certain, for nothing.
Exactly.
Okay. I'm going to take the show in an absolutely sideways movement. I love the rumor mill. I mean, when I go to the supermarket and I'm stood in line, nothing beats reading the National Enquirer. Now, I didn't get this from the National Enquirer, but I mean, there are so many rumors floating around about this case, but you know, you have to look at them and think, well, is there a grain of truth? But there's one in particular about Misty being seen slapping Junior around at a doctor's office or a medical clinic. Anyone heard this one?
Yeah, I know Cobra has, and I've actually interviewed one of the witnesses, Simon, and I can tell you that it's under investigation by child welfare right now, but the severity of the of the slap is certainly in question. It was mainly to get to get Junior's attention. At least that was the impression of this woman. However, she was horrified at what she saw in this doctor's office, and I think that and outside, Misty was, Misty had Junior that day, and there were a lot of family in the waiting room with her. But I'll just leave it to say that it's, you know, there are other witnesses they're trying to track down to see if this is in any way could be a factor, you know, in the, you know, investigation of parental fitness.
Okay. Well, isn't any kind of hitting of a child abuse? I mean, no hit is a love affection. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I mean, look. Everybody in this whole, you know, sordid saga, you know, could use some parenting classes. There's no question about that. I could use some. All of us as parents have done things we wish we could put back in the bottle with our kids. Thank God mine have turned out well, you know, in spite of me. But, you know, I have great empathy for parents who are struggling, young parents who are under stress. I know that, you know, we know that Ronald Cummings has, you know, in the past used corporal punishment on the kids. That was investigated by, you know, by child welfare, and it was ruled to be within the bounds of acceptable physical punishment. Now, you know, I don't believe in that, but then again, spare the rod, spoil the child, you know, a lot of people do. So, but it did not rise to the level of child abuse, and Ronald was able to keep his children at past time.
Well, go ahead, Carl.
I was going to tell you, for all your listeners that want to find out about this, Chapter 39 of the Florida State Statute, Chapter 39 will give you the guidelines that you can look at, and certainly nothing that we've seen so far rises to, like Art's saying. It does, you know, I discipline my children a different way than Joe Blow, and Joe Blow might pop them upside the head. And you don't take children away for doing that type of stuff. But if you look at statute or chapter 39 of the Florida statutes, you would find what it takes. You damn near got to kill the kid before DCF can remove the child. That's why I said if you think there's a great harm here, then a motion should have been filed before a judge immediately. But nobody filed a motion. I've been here 70 days, so I think it's a bunch of hoopla, to tell you the truth.
Okay, do you know if DCFS is or anyone's looking at maybe pressing charges against Ron for child neglect? Because leaving your children with the woman, or I shouldn't say woman, 17-year-old that had been out on a 3-day drug binge and knowing that she couldn't have been in her right state of mind, I mean, isn't that neglect on his part to be allowing these kids to be left with her?
That's a decision they have to make. I mean, I wouldn't do it. Certainly you wouldn't do it. But, again, I'll refer you back to Chapter 39. And they have a real hard path to beat on that. So, you know, if there was some danger, then the attorney representing one side or the other, we know who that is, should have filed an emergency motion before a judge if it was this serious. I know if it was my child and it was this serious, an motion would have filed immediately, and there is absolutely, when I spoke to DCF, there is absolutely nothing barring them from doing that then, now, or whenever. But the thing is they'll have a hard time because you govern your children a different way than I do, and it's all going to come back to Chapter 39.
Okay, folks, I'm being nagged by my producer. Yeah, I do actually have one. I mean, hard to believe, though, you know, when you look at any of my shows. I want to run quickly around the panel to get any last thoughts. Jan, you've been pretty quiet. You know, what do you think about this whole case?
First of all, I think somebody's really putting screws to Cobra. And I want to tell him, keep going with it. Don't let him get you down. And I know if anybody can find Will Haley, I know it's you. And just wish you the best.
Thank you. Thank you.
Pickles.
Yes, I just want to, you know, say get this shit right back on to Haley, you know, and give everybody needs to just quit with this drama BS. Let Cobra do his job, you know. Don't be having Never Lose Hope Foundation, CMAF, Michelle Bart, and Anthony, keep them away from Haley Cummings. If I could say anything in that world, I would say keep those people away. And I've seen proof that they're all sneaking on in there. I've seen the proof. I don't need to have anybody telling me that it's not true because I know it is. Cobra, God bless you. God bless everybody.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you,
Art?
Art? By the way, happy birthday, Jan.
Thank you.
We lost Art. Actually, at the beginning of the broadcast, he did tell me that he was on his cell phone and bad things might happen. So, Denny, your parting words for us.
Yeah, it's like I was saying earlier, it's very fascinating, and I'm sorry I'm not closer to the action, but this apparently, unfortunately, is going to be something that's going to be a long haul, longer than I think any of us would like to see to recover this young girl. But we've got people on the ground there that Cobra and Art and probably others who are keeping their noses to the grindstone in spite of apparently some pretty hefty obstacles. And certainly they're to be commended for that, and hopefully I don't foresee them giving up. I think this thing will be seen through to a conclusion, hopefully a successful one.
I do.
Amen.
Hope so. And Cobra, your part,
well,
your words.
My thoughts are, first off, happy birthday, Jen.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And secondly, listen, it was a mind-opening, wide-opening experience for me to go to jail first time. But listen, it brought attention back to Haley again. And that's, hey, if I got to do that, then I got a chance to ask some questions of some boys that was in there. So, you know, she's not in jail, that I can tell you. But if it means that you know, you have to sacrifice even your liberties and your freedom, hey. It's a little child, man. This is America's little child. And she's lost, and she needs to be brung back home, period and simple. So whoever you are, your evildoers, please, let's just focus on this little child and stop trying to put the Cobra Man in jail.
Amen to that.
And Cobra.
Yes, sir.
Where can people send donations? I know that you're doing this out of your own pocket, and your wallet's getting real thin.
Then I don't carry a wallet no more. But they can send. They can go to any SunTrust bank and make a deposit to Case Closed Incorporated. My name, William Staubs. Use those, and you don't need an account number. You can also send your cards and letters, and I do enjoy hearing from your readers, and we answer every letter thus far. And you can send that to Case Closed, Post Office Box 267-967. Weston, Weston, Florida, 33326, or you can go to PayPal at 1Cobra7@bellsouth.net.
And that is the number 1Cobra, number 7 at Bell South. By the way, did you get my huge donation?
Yeah, listen, your dollar and 50,000 more of them, and I'll be doing something, brother. So you sent me a dollar, did you cheap rascal?
I wasn't going to send you money till I made sure it worked.
Well, listen, if you send it, I get it, it works. It goes back to work, to, you know, and I don't have any hidden agendas or hidden interests. I was going to invite the crime writer there. If he's coming to Florida, good. We can ride in his vehicle for a while. Maybe he has some gas money.
Right.
Come on down.
I'll tell you what. It looks like Art managed to change the battery in his cell phone. We're just having a quick wrap-up, Art. What's your parting thoughts for us today?
Well, you know, I was really struck by Cobra's first experience in jail. It was very, I'm sure it was very scary for him, but it was a very colorful tale. And, you know, readers, listeners can read about it at artharris.com, Simon, where I sum up, you know, the whole sad, tragic last couple of days, including I've just put up some fresh pictures showing Cobra in conversation with law enforcement, you know, a day or so before he went out to Mr. Sidegrass's and discussing the case with him. So they'll see those photos at the end of the story.
Okay, and I'm going to put out one last request. If Mr. Bail Bondsman is still on the line.
Yes, sir, I am.
Please contact either Art or myself or both of us. We would love to talk to you, not so much specifically about Haley, more the the general background. We would love to talk to you. At least I think I'm talking for Art on that one.
Yeah, no, it's a fascinating world, and what these people do is, you know, everybody's presumed innocent, and some people cannot afford to put up a full amount of a bond. So, whether it's Chuck's bail bonds, Mr. Valentine, Donna, Vegas bail, you name it, they have to assess whether someone is going to be a good risk. It's like an insurance company. You want to insure X, Y, or Z. So I'd be fascinated to talk to you about that.
Right. Let's do that offline. Okay, I need to wrap this show up. I do want to put in a shameless plug, though. Next Saturday, we're going to be running a special on Drew Peterson. This will be airing at 3 p.m. Central. We have a very special guest lined up, Attorney Peter Haven. Peter is actually one of the attorneys working for Fred Goldman on extracting O.J. Simpson's assets to pay for the $30 million he owes in the wrongful death suit. However, he also has some other thoughts. I'm sure he'll bring us up to do speed on O.J. When I spoke to him yesterday, he was quite full of it. It should be a great show. I'm not sure exactly who we're going to have on the panel, but I'm sure the panel's listening right now.
Well, I'll tell you, ask him if he wants to buy O.J. Simpson's trash, and Art knows what I'm talking about because Art's buddy bonded him and I watched him. So O.J. Simpson didn't really have a prayer's chance of going anywhere, did he, Art?
No, I think, not with you watching him and America's media at his doorstep. It was probably the best risk investment that any bondsman could have made. I hope I'm going to be with you next week, Simon. I covered the first Simpson trial for CNN and was out there for a year and a half. I covered the last one a bit from a distance. And, this is someone who, has captured the fascination of the country as horrible as his crimes have been.
Right. And I believe, Denny, if you're still on the line,
yes.
you covered the latest nonsense, didn't you?
Well, yeah, it was the Las Vegas case, so I was pretty much up to speed on what was happening there. And, a lot of people feel there was some justice done.
Right. So anyway, that's going to be 3 p.m. Central next Saturday. And it should just be a fascinating story. I like Peter Haven. He's a very intelligent, very interesting guy. So tune in next Saturday. Okay, need to wrap this up. I want to thank all of the panel for joining us. It's been a very, very interesting hour. Well, 45 minutes. Sorry, hour and 15 minutes.
Go celebrate.
Right. Cobra, go eat some crab.
Eat something too.
Yeah, if you can't eat it all, pack it in dry ice and send it to Jen as a birthday present.
Do not tip me. I might do that.
Okay, and I really want to thank all of our listeners and the people that were chatting in the chat room. It looked like we had a bumper crop. How many people did we have in that chat room?
From what I can see, the highest was 93.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Okay, folks. This is Simon Barrett. and birthday girl Jan Barrett, saying thank you for listening to us, and we will talk to you again very soon. Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody. Thanks for having
us. Bye.
Bye. Love you,
bye.
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 Bye.